You're listening to a Share Radio podcast.
Crowdfunders, Share Radio's alternative finance show.
Hello and welcome to Crowdfunders, the Share Radio show where we look at all forms of crowdfunding, including peer-to-peer lending. And on today's show, we're going to look at why the rollout of the Innovative Finance ISA has been so slow. And we've also got two items on reward crowdfunding. That's where people support businesses or projects and get rewards in return, for example, a T-shirt, rather than shares in a company. I'll be speaking to the founder of a new reward crowdfunding platform called Velocity, and I'll also find out about a particular crowdfunding campaign where students are raising money for a new personal safety device called the ICE.
Crowdfunders, Share Radio's alternative finance show.
We're now going to talk about the Innovative Finance ISA, and that was introduced in April. And the idea is that you can go on the well-known peer-to-peer lending platforms, lend money to other individuals or businesses, and do that within an ISA wrapper. But the problem has been that for regulatory reasons, most of the platforms still aren't able to offer products within the ISA wrapper. So to talk about this some more and to find out what stage we're now at, I'm joined on the line by Neil Faulkner, who is the co-founder of Fourthway, the peer-to-peer ratings and comparison service. So Neil, thanks very much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here, Ed.
Okay, well, let's just quickly do a recap. Why is it that most of the platforms still aren't offering an innovative finance ISA product?
Well, a recap. I mean, there are six reasons that we've heard from various platforms for the delays, and it's a variety of different reasons. For example, how they're set up. Some platforms. They've been told that they need to lend other people's money, and they can't lend their own money. But confusingly, that doesn't apply to all of them. For example, Funding Circle and RateSetter, we don't know if they've been told to stop doing that, but some of them have been told to stop lending their own money. And the providers, this is a very big point that comes up quite a lot in discussions, is that they have to be able to show that they are lending directly between a lender and a borrower. The platform isn't supposed to be the lender. It's supposed to be directly between individual lenders and individual borrowers. And so in some cases, they've had to change their contracts. Like Growth Street is an example of one that's already changed its contracts recently to make that direct relationship clearer. And then there are other reasons, such as just simply that the regulator has had a long learning curve, and it's in some cases it's been slow to grasp even the basics of the regulatory definition of peer-to-peer lending. We had one platform tell us recently that it was just some weeks ago that the regulator was still trying to grasp the basic article, Article 36H, central to peer-to-peer regulations, and it was still trying to grasp that and understand that by talking to the platforms. And this, they've been looking to regulate these things for over a year now, so it's still grappling with that. So they have to learn all about this new industry.
Just to go back a step, what is the current regulation for peer-to-peer platforms? I think I'm right in saying that most of them only have an interim permission from the FCA to operate, and they need a sort of permanent permission before they can launch the ISA. Have I understood that correctly?
That's right, yeah. They have interim permission to operate, and so that means they can still do everything they're supposed to do, but the regulator is also at the same time checking them out more thoroughly to see whether they can really continue on and to do it in that way. Some might have to change from peer-to-peer lending. They might have to say that they're collective investment schemes, so more like regular investment funds, for example, if they don't change how they operate. And of course, the regulator is very keen to make sure that they actually know what they're doing and are capable of doing it, as well as the regulator can assess that. Investors shouldn't think because the regulator's approved them, they're therefore a fantastic investment and everything's going to go well. Things can still go wrong, as we know from other regulated investments.
So are there any peer-to-peer platforms that have had the nod, they've got the full permission, and they're now offering the Innovative Finance ISA?
Yeah, out of 94... we have just two still, and they started back in April, and since then there have been no more if ISAs launched. These two are Crowd2Fund and Crowdstacker. Another 15 have received authorization, so they're able to offer the ISAs. Two significant ones are those, Lendingworks and Downing. And Lendingworks just said that it will launch its ISA in January now. So there'll be at least three by January. That still leaves 77 applications that the FCA is queued up and waiting to offer full authorization to.
And do you have any idea when the others might come through then? You might have a couple of people in January, but will it be much longer for the others?
Well, I'm hopeful. I think that while the regulator's it's being very cautious and going through a learning curve, it's doing due diligence in best interest of the consumers, and that's right, and it's been taking the time to do so. But it's been very supportive of the industry at the same time. That's the feedback we're getting from the various different platforms themselves. And we're also hearing now that the questions the regulator is asking the platforms, they're getting more trivial and less important. So it appears that most of them have satisfied the regulator on, or many of the bigger ones have satisfied the regulator on the more critical issues. So, you know, you can't say dates, but it looks like it's getting towards the end of the process now at last.
And the best known peer-to-peer sites clearly are Funding Circle, RateSetter and Zopa. They're the biggest three. They've not been approved yet. Do you have any idea when that might happen?
Well, that's an interesting case because the rumours going around are that the regulator doesn't want to approve one of them now and then another one in 6 months' time because of the unfair competitive advantage that one would get. So people believe really that there's a wait for the lowest common denominator. They're going to maybe not all of them on the same day, but they'll be very close together. So they have to wait till all of them are satisfied before any of them get the permission they need.
And I guess Lendingworks, it's not as big as the three we've just mentioned, but it is one of the bigger platforms. It could really gain some market share if it gets its ISA up and running in January, couldn't it? That's quite an opportunity
absolutely.
For them.
Yeah, and it's a significant platform. It deserves to do well. And so if we allow some of these smaller ones to catch up a bit, I guess for the industry itself, it's not such a bad thing. For RateSetter, Funding Circle and Zopa, I'm not sure they'd agree.
Now, I think you've also said that auto allocation's been an issue. So this is where you go on a peer-to-peer platform and you don't choose the people you're lending to. Can you just tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah. Well, the reason why this is relevant is that it's a very complicated and the regulator wants to make sure that it's working right. You have these complicated structures where you lend your money, but you don't choose your borrower. Your money is automatically split between lots of them. And then sometimes, particularly RateSetter being a particular obvious case, during an emergency, say there's huge amounts of bad debts because it's a very severe recession, what would then happen is then you're re-auto-allocated across all of the loans, every single borrower. Your money is spread across all of them, which is a fantastic thing to do. It's brilliant to lower the risks, but it's making it very complicated for the regulator to work out. You know, in these cases, it makes it a lot more complicated to work out, is this still peer-to-peer lending? Is this under these regulations? So these are the sorts of things that are slowing it down, these sorts of various different legal structures that each of them have keep coming up in conversations that we have with platforms as an issue. By the way, I shouldn't say that RateSetter haven't said that that's been an issue themselves. Others have said that auto allocation and pooling has been an issue. So perhaps RateSetter have already sorted out their own issues there.
I guess the other thing is the ISA season, which comes in March, doesn't it, where a lot of people put money into their set up a cash ISA or a stocks and shares ISA to get the ISA before the tax year it ends. So the platforms must all be crossing their fingers that they could at least get approval for March the 1st. And I'm guessing you just can't say either way whether that's realistic or not. Or do you have an idea? Do you think they could get approved for March the 1st or March the 6th, the ISA season, whenever it starts?
I'd be surprised if there aren't some more. I think they won't come in one go, all of these 77 applications still waiting. And then, as we've seen with Lendingworks, it can still take a few months for them to actually launch their ISA. But there'll be some before then. I've seen some platforms have changed their terms and conditions to start for March, coincidentally, and I think that's probably related to their optimism that they'll be ready for then for their ISAs.
Okay, very interesting. Well, we'll be keeping an eye on this here at Share Radio. I'm sure you'll be keeping an eye on it too, Neil. Thanks very much for joining us today, Neil. You've been listening to Neil Faulkner, who is the co-founder of Fourthway, the peer-to-peer ratings and comparison service.
Crowdfunders, Share Radio's alternative finance show.
I'm now going to find out about a product called ICE that is currently raising money on the Indiegogo platform. ICE stands for In Case of Emergency, and it's a personal security device that lets users send the distress signal to emergency services and friends. Joining me in the studio to talk about this some more is Mark Lewis, who is the Dean of the School of Communication Arts in Brixton. So good afternoon, Mark.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming on the show. So can you just tell us a bit more about this ICE device. Let's start with that.
Okay, sure. So ICE is a piece of wearable technology, and it was innovated by my students, and it connects to any mobile phone, or nearly any mobile phone, certainly pretty much any Android or Apple phone. It connects by low-power Bluetooth, and when it's connected to your phone, you put it in your pocket, and if you're walking around, and if you are worried that something bad is about to happen, a crime, or you're going to fall over, or whatever, you can press a button on the ICE disc. When you press the button on the disc, three things happen straight away. One is it sends an emergency SMS to the police with your exact location. At the same time, it sends an SMS to your emergency contacts, up to five of your personal emergency contacts, again with your exact location. And finally, and I think our killer app, if you like, within our product, is it looks up everybody else on the platform nearby and sends a call saying somebody on our network, somebody on our platform needs help, now go and help. And so we send the crowd to people's help. So it's crowdsourced personal security launched on a crowdfunding platform.
Wow, that's brilliant. Well, as I said, you're at the School of Communication Arts in Brixton. Tell us a bit more about your students. Are they media students who are just focusing on the crowdfunding campaign, or have they actually contributed in other ways to this?
It's a crazy school. What can I tell you? I've got 38 students and I've got about 1,000 teachers. And we're a social enterprise co-owned and supported by about 100 agencies. Ad agencies, media owners, media agencies, tech agencies, a whole blend of them. And although we're famous for being a creative school, so we are the world's top-rated creative school at the moment in our space, we don't really believe in advertising, so we don't really make ads. So whereas maybe the old way of thinking of advertising is to make people want stuff, we believe that we should make stuff people want. So we're focused on trying to help our brand partners and our agencies innovate to solve societal problems so that people truly need the things that they buy.
So your students came up for the idea of this ICE device and they figured out how to produce this device?
Well, they had a lot of help from our agencies. But yeah, so the story is our school is in a church in the middle of Brixton, St. Matthew's Church, for those that know Brixton. And outside our church, we have a garden which is run by the council. It's called Peace Gardens. And my students come out most nights at 8, 9 o'clock at night because we work really hard. And particularly this time of year at 8, 9 o'clock at night, it's really dark. And those that know Brixton will know that the Peace Gardens is a place where you can enjoy watching people shoot up heroin or have, I don't know, nighttime outdoor sex or that sort of thing. And we felt threatened. And so the students came up with the idea of ICE really as a way of helping themselves feel safer coming out of school.
So the students are raising cash on Indiegogo for this project. Indiegogo, of course, is one of the two leading reward crowdfunding platforms.
Yeah.
So that means, of course, people who invest in this, donate money to this campaign, won't get shares in any business. So what will they get instead? Or will they get anything instead? Will they just get a feeling of pleasure that they're supporting
a they can definitely have some pleasure. So the equity is owned by the school. And if this thing ends up being a multi-million pound business, part of the pleasure is that will fund more scholarships, because we live to give out scholarships. But if and when people want to back us on Indiegogo, they will get the ICE discs. They will get first dibs at discounted price access to the ICE discs, including if they live in the Lambeth area, they'll get the ICE discs a month or two early because we're running a pilot in Lambeth first.
Yeah, so when will the project be launched? When will the product be ready?
So Lambeth, we pilot in March, mid to end of March.
And across the UK, then May or June, if things
go
well.
Yeah,
okay. And how much money are you trying to raise?
Well, we set out to try and raise £35,000, which is what we were told we needed to buy all the tooling and to press go on the manufacture. Rather embarrassingly, we hit that target, I think, in the first hour of going live. So we've now set ourselves a new target. And we haven't really shared this with anybody externally, but we'd like to get to 50. We can get to 50,000. We'll feel really good about that.
And what do you need this money for?
Really, so the next thing we want to do is add more functionality to the app. So one of the things we'd like to do is pay engineers to work out how ICE users can plan their journey home following a route where other ICE members are nearby. So anything we raise from here on in is just adding functionality to the app.
When was the campaign launched?
About 2.5 weeks ago.
How's it gone? And have you and your students learned from the process?
We're learning so much. I mean, as a project, as a teacher, watching my students tackle this project, we're learning things like A/B testing. So we can produce a piece of creative with maybe 6 or 7 different types of copy, and we can see which ones are being shared or clicked or drive purchase. So that, as a school teaching communications, that's a phenomenal opportunity as a teacher and as students to learn from that.
And have you been involved in a crowdfunding campaign before, or is this your first time?
I am learning so much as I go. I mean, when we started this project, I was a little bit naive, and I'm learning, and I've gone bald and grey, but it's been a lot of fun.
And do you think the donors mainly friends and relatives of your students, or are you managing to reach out and get a wider audience involved?
I would say that, and I've got no stats right on me
sure,
to back
no
this
problem.
Up, yeah. But I would suggest that maybe it's about 50-50.
And how are you reaching that wider audience then? Is it social media? Is it?
Yeah, we've had a bit of social media. We've had a good bit of press. We've been very lucky to have support from press. And the word of mouth is out there. So I've been seeing orders come in, for example, from the States, and we've got absolutely no presence in the States. So that can only be through sharing on social media.
When's your campaign going to end, Mark?
So we're running until December the 18th. So we've got a couple more weeks to go.
So that's great. So if anyone wants to contribute to your campaign, they can find it on the Indiegogo website. And I wish you the best of luck, Mark, and your students the best of luck. Hope you get to that £50,000 target. And we'll keep an eye on this story here at Share Radio. You've been listening to Mark Lewis, who is the Dean of the School of Communication Arts in Brixton, talking about this new ICE project, a personal security device, as I say, raising money on Indiegogo.
Share Radio.
At Henderson Global Investors, we believe in helping people to make informed investment decisions by sharing our knowledge. We are a proud sponsor of the Investment Trust Show on Share Radio, and we currently manage a range of 13 investment trusts in a wide range of sectors, geographies, and markets across the globe. Visit us at hendersoninvestmenttrusts.com. Henderson Global Investors is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority to provide investment products and services.
The December edition of MoneyWise magazine is out now. In this month's edition, you can read about how MoneyWise readers are affected by the U-turn on the secondary annuities market. The team ask, should we be giving gift cards this Christmas? And talk family financial planning, how to beat the barriers to helping your children. MoneyWise's December edition is on WH Smith newsstands now for just £3.95, or head over to moneywise.co.uk to subscribe for your copy.
Crowdfunders, Share Radio's alternative finance show.
Now let's take a look at a reward crowdfunding site that's been launched in the UK. It's called Velocity, and I'm now joined in the studio by Raimonda Jankanaita to talk about this some more. So Raimonda, thanks for joining us today, and tell us more about your business.
We launched last year, and we are UK-based, so there is Kickstarter and in the US, but we found a niche in the UK in terms of there's not enough platforms doing rewards-based crowdfunding and actually helping entrepreneurs to get the initial funding that they need to get started with their ideas or their projects without giving away any equity. So this is our focus.
Okay, so what kind of rewards do people get on your site?
Well, it could be a first print of a product, a special invite. It could be participation in a project and actually giving the people that back the project something off nominal value, really, of something that's interesting.
So it could be something that's coming from the project or the
yes,
company,
that
I guess.
They're making or creating.
Now, you mentioned Kickstarter and Indiegogo, very well-known brands here. Do
Absolutely.
You feel your difference is you're UK-based, or is it something else as well?
Yes, we are homegrown. We are here from the UK, but also we take a very personal approach with the businesses and startups. We believe we understand them and what support they need. So we don't overlook the difficulty of having to prepare a crowdfunding campaign and run it. So we actually take a personal approach and we teach people how to do it. So from beginning to end, we give them that support that is required in terms of running a successful crowdfunding campaign. Sure, I think I am an entrepreneur myself for the last few years, and I recognize the need for support for early stage ideas and ability to have a platform where you're able to grow your own crowd and actually get them engaged. So if you are working on a on a big idea or a small idea, you actually need support, that initial support and sort of a testing bed, if you like, for your ideas to see whether would anyone buy into it, is there an interest for it, and would people pay for it.
And so what are, you mentioned, will people pay for it? What are the fees you charge people raising money on your site?
Sure. I mean, we're quite competitive, just very much like other platforms. We charge 6.5%. That's success fee. And we also have a program where people can go on to prior to launching their crowdfunding campaign. And we charge £149 for 4 weeks program to work with us. So one-on-one basis, we'd teach them of how to do crowdfunding.
So let's go through the process. Say I wanted, I've got an idea for a new business. I want to raise money on your platform. I come along. I pay. Do I have to pay the £149? Do I have to go through that initial thing?
No, absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not. The platform is open for anyone. Anyone can sign up, register, and be part of the community. So we have a community section within the platform. It's absolutely free. Anyone can join and actually start working on their ideas. Now, every month we'll have workshops. So it's a three-hour workshop where we have speakers, including myself and our team, to teach people just the essentials of how to do crowdfunding or how to prepare it. And that is optional to go on to a four-week course if people want to take it seriously.
Okay, so let's say I'm going to raise money. I do the four-week course. I've got all your training. Great. I then put my project on your site. I pay you 6.5% if I raise my target.
So presumably, if you're successful,
So presumably you and I or your I chat to you or one of your colleagues and we say, right, we're aiming for £10,000 or whatever it may be. Is that right?
Yeah. Sure, yes.
And then we wait to see if we hit the target. How long do the campaigns normally run then? When do you decide, you know what, this one isn't going to hit its target?
I think it's part of the planning process. It's definitely you have to consider how much time you're going to allow for your campaign to run and how much money you're looking to raise and how feasible it is to do it. So that's why we work with entrepreneurs to make sure that they have all the tools that they need to run the campaign. So from the minute they say, okay, we launch, they know exactly what they need to do for the, whether it's 4 weeks, 6 weeks time scale that they're running the project. And we will support them and help them to make sure that they hit their targets.
And do you make any effort to verify the claims made by your fundraisers? Because there have been some stories on other platforms of the claims not really being backed up by reality.
Yes, absolutely. That's why we not only work online, but also offline and tend to meet all of our clients. We tend to validate whether they have real products or it's only just an idea, which is not a problem. But we do help them to make sure that they will be able to deliver the product and will do due diligence process for every single client that we work with.
Well, Raimonda, thanks very much for joining us today. It sounds like a fascinating site. Good luck for 2017. And you've been listening to Raimonda Yankanaita from the Crowd Velocity platform.
And it's almost the end of this week's Crowdfunders show. But just before I go, you may have seen in the press that Zopa has temporarily stopped taking new money from lenders on the site. We'll cover this story in more detail at the same time next week. And don't forget, you can find this show and all the rest of our previous shows on the Share Radio website or on Audioboom. So until next week here on Crowdfunders, I'm Ed Bauscher.